Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:03 p.m. that is Pacific Standard Time. Today is February 5th, and it is also the first day that Jay Powell has taken over as the Fed chair. And I'm going to post a number of charts in Comment of the Day today, highlighting that the market tends to test the market-friendly credentials of new central bankers. In fact, The market started to pull back the day before Janet Yellen took office and fell by about 6%. And so far, from peak to trough, the S&P 500 is down about 8% as of today's low. And it's closing down on the day approximately 4%. The Dow Jones today fell by 1,100 points. And that is a significant decline. In fact, it's one of the larger declines the index has seen. It's also, when we look at this trend, that it was reasonably consistent. The ranges were one above another. Then we had a somewhat larger reaction, which was an inconsistency. Now we have had a massive reaction against the prevailing trend. This is a type 2 top formation characteristic. And then the market is off its low, but not by very much, approximately 400 points as of the close. I think this chart is at 24,345. So when we look at this on a weekly basis, the Dow Jones was the index that had the clearest evidence of trend acceleration, and now it is pulling back in a violent manner. This is a peak of at least near-term significance and potentially medium-term significance. What do we expect from a Type 2 top? Well, Type 2 tops are characterized by these massive reactions against the prevailing trend, and often they occur out of the blue. They are the proverbial bolt from the blue. And there are a number of aspects that people will be attributing to this decline. Some will be saying that it was because the US economy is growing too quickly, as if that was even possible, or that it's overheating. Some will be saying that we have low unemployment, so the Fed will be raising interest rates. Others will be saying that the market had got ahead of itself, so it was due a consolidation. That's the philosophical approach. And of course, then there is also the fact that Janet Yellen left the Fed with a bit of a sting in her tail by fining Wells Fargo. And Wells Fargo pulled back rather sharply in here today. And what that also suggests is a certain amount of uncertainty among investors, because they simply do not know what the Jay Powell Fed will be like. And he was coming out today and saying that he was going to be very transparent and didn't want to surprise the markets, but the market will need to get some confirmation. And what certainly the market would like at this stage would be to hear that the Federal Reserve is going to be very, very cautious about raising interest rates and perhaps will hold off until they have greater evidence. And in the absence of that, then there's likely to be some additional selling pressure. Now, if we go back to what we can expect from a Type 2 top, so you get the massive reaction against the prevailing trend, and people start to cast around for ideas as to why that has occurred. And they'll come up with a number of rationalizations. But the reality is that after the somewhat larger pullback, what people did was introduce stops. And those stops have been triggered, so now we've had this much larger reaction. And people have been conditioned to buy the dip. So then the question is, where do people decide that they want to buy the dip? Well, some people will be thinking that the market has already almost closed its overextension relative to the trend mean, and every time in the last couple of years it's done that, well, it's been a buying opportunity, and we're approximately 100 points away from the trend mean on the S&P 500 right now. So some people will be thinking that if we do get it all the way down to that level, or perhaps even to 2500, then that would be a potential entry opportunity. But then there are going to be other people that look on this and say, golly, this market has really pulled back violently, so we are going to stop buying. We're going to have to wait and see what happens. So what you often get after a massive reaction against the prevailing trend is a range. And that range might be constituted or might be considered a first step below the peak. And that is what I think is perhaps going to be the base case. There are still a lot of really quite encouraging fundamental factors. Companies are still coming through with solid earnings, and we are about halfway through the earnings season right now. then we still have the rather I think pro-growth or inflationary considerations that are coming through from the tax cuts. And the main uncertainty is what is the Fed going to do with interest rate policy? Well, we won't have answers to those questions for another couple of months, but the companies are still doing reasonably well. Now, what is also worth highlighting here is that the 10-year Treasury posted a large downside key reversal towards the close in here today. So, when people were worried about on Friday that the risk parity strategy was no longer working, that that bonds and equities were moving in exactly the same direction, well, that correlation disappeared when we got some panicky selling towards in the last hour of trading in here today. And what this suggests is that we have had a peak of near-term and potentially medium-term significance in the stock market, and a low of at least short-term and potentially medium-term significance in the bond markets. What this suggests is that the short-term oversold condition on the 10-year Treasury is about to be unwound. So I have obviously closed my short a little bit too early. And the likelihood now is that if we get upside follow-through tomorrow, then this will certainly confirm that this accelerated downtrend has indeed ended here. Now, when we look at what we can expect, well, first off, we should look at some of the shares that are really quite overextended relative to the trend mean. So, for example, Amazon was subject to really quite acute volatility in here today. Then you have Boeing, which is now the largest share in the Dow Jones, and that also pulled back rather violently and was subject to a lot of volatility in here today. Then, if we look at other shares, for example, Nvidia, which has been the darling of the technology sector for the last few years, well, it has pulled back sharply over the last 2 weeks. But now, nonetheless, when we look at all of these shares, they are still in uptrends. They still have progressions of higher reaction lows, and they are all off their lows in here today. What this suggests is that there are at least some people that are coming in here to buy the dip, and what that suggests is that there are still people that want to buy dips in this market despite the fact that volatility has increased. What is also worth considering is that volatility peaks are a much better indication of market lows than volatility troughs are of market peaks. So when we see that the volatility measures have pushed up to extraordinary levels, and certainly the move that we've had in here today is an extraordinary level. The index has doubled in the space of less than one trading session. So that is a rather extraordinary set of circumstances. And if we go all the way back to 2010, the number of times that it has in fact closed above 30 is actually very small. So the other point, of course, about the volatility measure is that it is much more sensitive to to movements in the stock market now than it was previously, because it is a rolling average of prices. So what that does is it contributes to a perception of even greater volatility. But it then, because of the feedback loop that it has on stocks, because of risk parity trades, because of the short volatility trade, and because of the momentum that has been that the ETF buying spree has created, there's a feedback loop. When volatility surges, then it pushes back into the stock market and becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. And that's exactly what we saw in here today. It has been the risk all the way through the last few months, and particularly during the accelerated phase. And what we now have is we've had a very impressive advance over the last few years, and it's over. And the question now is when is the first low going to hold, and how long is the range likely to be? But the likelihood is that we have seen a peak of at least near-term and potentially medium-term significance. That means anything from 3 months out to 18 months in terms of the market peak. And that is, I think, a significant factor. When we then go and look at what's been happening in the Asian markets, well, the Nikkei was in negative territory in here today. But if we look at the futures contract, then we can see that it has pulled back rather sharply in the futures market and is now really quite significantly below 22,000. So that is a significant decline on the future, and what it rather suggests is that the likelihood is that this is now it's already a reversion to the mean, but it is a corrective phase for just about all asset classes. So the Hang Seng in Hong Kong was rallying in a spectacular manner for much of the last few months, and it is equally liable to pull back in a violent manner in here tomorrow. And then when we look at Australia, well, the 6,000 area has been just about holding, but it's unlikely to hold when we consider what the outlook is for the global economy at present. But actually, I think that is the rather important point, is that it's not the global economy, it's global markets. The global economy is still on a growth footing. Any of the indicators that we have for recession are not flashing red. It is rather that we have a very much a financial condition here. And I think that is perhaps the most important point. And that is why I've been making parallels with the 1987 crash in the big picture long-term audios. It's because this is not particularly anything to do with the global economy, which is still on a synchronized growth footing, but rather it's about financialization and indeed leverage. And there is a great deal of leverage in any market that accelerates higher. Then when we look at the Indian market, it was also in negative territory in here today, and it will be in even more negative territory tomorrow. So what this is going to create is a rather attractive buying opportunity in a number of high growth markets, especially those that have been quite overextended relative to the trend mean. The likelihood is that they are going to unwind those overbought conditions over the course of the next few weeks or months. Then when we look at the commodity complex, well, gold was in positive territory today, and it has been really quite steady around this $1,350 area. So this is the upper side of an 18-month range, and I think it will be a testament to gold's credentials as a safe haven if it can continue to hold within this short-term range and potentially even break up out of it if we can see a sustained move above $1,350. Well, that will greatly increase the likelihood that this range is going to be resolved with a significant upside break. And considering the fact that ranges are explosions waiting to happen, that potential cannot be ruled out. And it was generally a reasonably quiet day on the commodity complex. And this is rather symptomatic of what we kind of see in the latter stages of a bull market, that it is the resources sector tends to be less volatile. That doesn't mean that it's not going to pull back tomorrow. I don't think that in this kind of environment where people are running for the doors and trying to take profits wherever they can find them, then you're going to see weakness coming through in a lot of different asset classes, and not least because of panic selling. And one of the assets that has got some of the clearest evidence of panic selling right now is Bitcoin. And it was down $1,500 in here today. And the fact that is, I think, quite clear is that people are getting out in a hurry, and not least because of governments increasingly moving to clamp down on cryptocurrencies generally. But also, you have a lot of people that were buying it on leverage, and when other parts of their portfolio come under pressure, well, then they sell what they have profits in. So there is also this contagion effect that is coming through in the cryptocurrency markets. So when we then look at the oil price, oil was down over $1 in here today, and the high is at 71, and we're currently at 67. It hasn't pulled back by more than $5 since June. So we're coming towards the lower side of what would, in inverted commas, be a normal reaction. if this trend is going to remain consistent, then it is going to need to rally within the next dollar. And if it fails to do that, well, then the $70 area can be considered a medium-term peak, and we'll have an answer to exactly what level will encourage additional new supply back into this market. So I think the very clear picture here is that we are now in a corrective phase. And as long as that remains the case, then I think the most likely scenario is that this there is no evidence just yet that this consult or excuse me this pullback is over. The main indices still have a significant overextension relative to the trend mean. It is best case scenario that they find support in the region of the trend mean. If they do in fact find support in the region of the trend mean, then we could have a significant short covering rally, but that is likely to give way to a range which will either hold or not. And the direction of interest rates and how bond yields eventually begin to steady up again, that is, I think, is going to dictate a lot of what we can expect from the stock market. When we look at the 10-year Treasury, the first area of potential resistance is around 125, and that represents a significant rally from here, but still within the context of a medium-term downtrend. And I think that is the big lesson here, that there are great uncertainties about what the Federal Reserve is about to do, and that is now being reflected in what the stock market is also doing. And until we have greater certainty, then this is still a pressured environment where we are going to have some of the shares that have done spectacularly well coming down in a dynamic manner. The two shares that I've been paying particular attention to over the course of the last few months have been Netflix and Tesla. And because these are shares that have done spectacularly well by accessing cheap credit. And Tesla was down $10 in here today, and Netflix looks like it is about to unwind its overbought condition. But if Tesla is breaking below the $300 area, well, then we have to start asking questions about the integrity of this highly leveraged, cheap credit business model that has prevailed among some of the new tech type companies. They would also represent the thin end of the wedge for high yield to come under pressure. A great deal of the high yield sector is currently in the resources sector. So if oil prices are coming back down, then that is likely to have a knock-on effect for some of these junk bond ETFs. But when we look at the Barclays high yield spread index, well, it hasn't really moved at all. And the last time it was updated was on the 2nd, so we'll get the value for the 5th tomorrow. But as long as this is not trending higher, then the likelihood is that a lot of the stress that could come to bear on the high yield market is not yet present. So even though we have had this significant uptick in both equity and indeed the bond market volatility, it looks more like a correction than a big top. And this being a massive reaction against the prevailing trend, it tends to come down fast, and that's scary. But the flip side of that is that we are rapidly moving from short-term overbought to oversold. That doesn't mean that we can't go more oversold, but we are rapidly unwinding some of these overbought conditions. And this is going to create some really quite attractive buying opportunities in some of our longer term themes. So I think with that, I will leave you for today and wish all the best to all of you.